I don't have my headphones in.
Hello, Scott!
I also have a shock mount, so I should be able to type things without people. I went kind of crazy.
What happened? Is this still on the Yeti?
Yeah.
Just made it better.
It's time to upgrade a little bit. Improve my situation. If I can only fix the issue with where OS X continually moves my input level, that everything would be great. But I've Googled around and found that that is actually an issue that other people experience, but nobody knows why.
So Pop Filter and ShockMount, do you have like a boom arm or something?
It's just right now it's on a stand, like a desktop stand. But I as soon as I bought the stand, I'm like, I should have got a boom arm. That would have been way more fun. Because the problem is on the stand, it's extremely unwieldy.
Yeah. I do all of my podcasting from my bedroom, sitting on my bed, as all good podcasting is done.
Sure.
By the way, he says, I have some tea. I'm gesturing with it as if to, benevolently as all good podcasters know. I don't think my wife would allow me to place a boom arm in the vicinity of the bed. So,
well, I mean, that's the nice thing is it just swings right out of the way when you don't need it.
Sure. I shall cradle my Yeti. And yes, that's not a euphemism. Scott, can you hear us now? No, he's gone. Oh, no.
How apropos. Oh, just you and me. All right. I was going to show you.
It's on.
Oh, it's on. Hello, people.
Have I spoiled what you were going to show me?
No, it's all right. Nothing that crazy. Oh, man, I went over my limit on cloud today. I was going to upload. Let's see if this will work.
The incomparable is starting now. Boodaloop.
Here,
it's Jason and Dan, and the incomparable is starting now.
Here, I'll send
and
you.
And Scott is back.
This is the ridiculous image. I am doing Skype. The ridiculous image of this contraption.
Hello.
Hello, we're live. And you're live.
Exciting. Hello, live people.
Oh, wow, Dan, that is
I know, isn't that serious? That's serious. I was using this for Google Hangout last night, and people, you look like some sort of like NPR guy.
Yeah, well, you I guess technically you are sort of an NPR guy now, but that's
I have appeared on NPR, but I was not professionally, let's say it that way.
Wow, that is fancy. You got the shock mount and the pop filter.
I know. I feel like now that we've been podcasting for what, like a year, 2 years almost? Year and a half? Two and a half years. How long has it been, Jason? It's been too long.
Podcasting when I joined Macworld. So September.
Two years and 3 months.
Yeah. I figured now is the time to get professional, is what I'm saying.
My belly is my shock mount.
That also works. Little known.
It works for me. See, I could take a picture and send it to you, and it would be less impressive because it would just be me with my microphone on my stomach.
This is what happens when there's stuff on Amazon on Black Friday. It's like, oh, sure, I'll buy a couple of those.
Why not?
My microphone is just on a book. I feel lame.
I used to be like you, Scott. Now I'm better.
You were never like me, Dad.
Ren, your levels were a little low there.
They're very low.
I flipped them around. Is that better? Maybe. Yeah,
yes. You're louder. Okay.
That's good. Yeah, I had my mic up backwards. So that would not produce good audio.
No.
Speaking of being professional.
Yes. Well, I have a stand. I just haven't had it on this desk in a while because I've taken a brief hiatus from podcasting. And now that I'm back, I put it on the wrong side of my desk.
You took a hiatus to go to Disneyland.
I did take a hiatus to go to Disneyland. I'm sad that
you.
I missed did you really?
Oh, yeah. We did try to call you in Disneyland.
It's actually in the after dark, but we just got your voicemail.
I'm sorry. My phone died about 5 p.m. because I was attempting to edit an article while queuing.
On your phone. Nice.
Yes. First and last time I will be doing that.
Yeah.
It's probably a good call.
Yeah. Well, I blame Glenn.
iPhone is just for reading, not for editing.
I quite like the iPhone for reading. I didn't
that's
get
why
to
we
say
called
that.
You.
I know. I didn't get to say that on the podcast about my love for the iPhone.
We talked about it and how we thought it was kind of crazy. And then I said, well, let's just call her and see if she can defend herself. And you couldn't. So we took
I can defend myself now.
It's in defense.
At the end. Maybe. All right. Okay. So what we're gonna everybody should start recording.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, that.
This is the most important thing any podcast can do is record itself.
I found the window this time much more easily. Thank God for that.
That's good. Couldn't have been harder than last time.
Last time was quite an adventure, let me tell you.
Hijinks ensued.
Has everybody started recording and said then since something?
Recording. Hello. I feel like it's been a while since we've done this, but it was only last week, wasn't it? I have no excuses.
Yes.
I need no excuses. I regret nothing.
Good for you. Scott regrets many things for you, though.
That's true. That's what I keep him around for.
It's true. Also, I believe, Scott, that Clinton, you're the man who is creating the supercut.
Oh, dear.
Of the McNulty supercut of everything Scott says is listening tonight. He actually posted a tweet.
He's earlier listening today from an institution.
In Australia, yes.
Yes.
But he posted a tweet that actually terrified me. He said, the best thing about tomorrow, he posted this.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I get to listen to The Incomparable live for the first time in months.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
He's been spending all of his time editing the McNulty supercut.
I was going to say, Clinton, you need to get out more.
Come away from the past, Clinton.
Big Scott supercut news, by the way.
You always called it a super pack.
I was going to say, I subscribe to Scott supercut news. It is an excellent newsletter.
It's a good e-newsletter.
Yes.
I realized that I have the source tracks for about the last dozen or so episodes, and so I have provided him, just to make his life a little easier, with the isolated Scott source tracks from the last seven appearances of Scott.
That takes some of the joy out of the whole enterprise, though, doesn't it? Isn't the part of it his suffering, really?
It is, although his response was delightful because he said, I get to hear Scott typing. So expect
the
typing.
Does that make it in the supercut?
The typing solo in the middle of the supercut. There'll just be some isolated typing sounds, I think.
I also get my hair cut at Scott Supercut.
Yeah.
It's quite reasonable price.
And you end up looking like $1 million, mm-hmm. million
that's
bucks.
Right. That's right. I come out with a Hawaiian shirt.
Ooh,
is that very snazzy? Dapper. This place.
That's full surface.
That's right.
Yeah,
they treat you right. That's Scott Supercut.
Scott Supercut. All right. So we're going to talk about Captain Vorpatril's Alliance. Right. That's the name. That's what this book is called.
The
right.
Name.
Indeed, yes, sir.
Jason, I have a confession to make, which is that I've only read half the book.
Oh.
I did not get in.
Playing the role of Dan this evening.
You had a flight.
I had a flight during the daytime, and I thought it would be more productive to, you know, work at my actual job.
Ooh, burn.
Bad. Sick burn. Bad decision.
Yeah.
Should be sticking
so
it to
I've only read half the book, so I will stick around for the intro stuff and talk about how much I like it so far.
Okay.
Did you read the first half or the second half?
That is a very good question, Scott.
Every other chapter. Odd chapters.
I mean,
evens come later.
If I had
don't
been around
the
for the talking about how we read, I would have told you how I read through books. But
she reads from the middle outwards.
Maybe we could do that. All right. Let's get going. Because Australia is listening. Very
only to me though.
Very carefully. Yes. Isolated Scott track broadcast on another frequency.
Mm-hmm. I'm big in Australia.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. They know
there's an unprofessional listener in the chat room. I think we should end this show now.
Yeah, this podcast is over.
Oh, man, I haven't heard that one in a while.
It's a classic. It's back.
I know it's a classic. I'm glad it's back. I missed it.
I was listening to Jen. Back. I was listening to Glenn talk on the talk show about Jeopardy, and I feel like I haven't had enough Glenning in my life lately. But that was like 2 hours of Glenning, basically.
It's a lot of Glenny.
Yeah.
That is a lot of Glenny.
You got a daily double of Glenny.
Of Glenny. Oh, yes.
I see what you did there.
What is Glenny? All right.
I got nothing.
Goodbye. Good night.
God bless.
Yes, good night and good luck.
That's right.
Good luck and good night.
Thank you, 5x5 chat room jackals.
Good luck to the Australian.
And good luck to the supercut man who although I know his name, I told him I kind of preferred him as the guy who's doing the supercut because it's funnier. It's like there's that guy out there in the internet.
Was Supercut Man a Mega Man villain?
Supercut Man.
That's right.
He fought Ultraman, actually, I think. Supercut Man. All right. This ends our broadcast day on 5x5. Good night. Goodbye. Now stay tuned for things that are playing in a loop on Dan's iTunes. Goodbye. And we're off.
As soon as you said good night, the light that's on a timer in my room went off, which was a little creepy.
Such is the power.
It's dark now.
Wow. That guy suggested a lot of titles, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. There are lots of them there.
There's a lot. He suggested like every other sentence. He suggested titles.
Oh, Nathan Chase. Chase Nathan. Yeah. Too many inches for you, old man. Let the woman talk more. Intergalactic FedEx. That's actually a pretty good one. Star Wars waits for no woman. The ladies are in the bubbles. Yeah. Okay. That is Sita Gonda. I didn't ask you, Dan. That's not nice. He's a very strange man. That's Jasper Ford. Quit while we're ahead. Hi, everybody in 2013. That's how I met your mother. What the hell, Simon?
At least he was paying attention.
Oh, he said that, dude. He was practically live blogging it.
Yeah.
Acrobat. Well, we got a guy who records dancer. Our streams, a guy who puts together all of Scott's words. Why not have a live blogger too?
That's how you. It's true. That's how you.
We're building our fan community.
Have the perfect murder, right?
That's right. Just don't murder the live blogger.
I'm going to vote for recording. That's an excellent one. Recording. All right. End current stream.
I'm going to vote for
frenemies. Is. All right. That was good. And then we talked about books at the end, so Scott got excited again and said thanks.
You know, I have to, it has to strike my fancy.
Yeah. Scott only speaks when he has something to say, like it's Mr. True. Ed.
Duh,
hello, Wilbur.
Yeah,
I frequently speak when I do not have things to say.
What are you? You're very excited about Louise Masters, whatever. Good old what's her face?
Good old,
good old Bajold.
Budgie lady. Yeah.
You know, I enjoy these books, but they do not incite in me the passion that they seem to incite in you, Dan. Which is,
it's the kind of, I don't know, it's the kind of stuff I really like reading, is fun, character-driven, not too heavy. I mean, I like reading a variety of things, but these are the things that I like the most, is sort of adventure-y stories with romps, you know. That's the kind of stuff I try to write too. So that's the I think that's part of it with me.
And it is compulsively readable, and which is why I read 14 of them in a row.
Right, exactly, so exactly. I mean, despite the, you know, the fact that I think there are people who would probably deride that as, you know, it's not seriously, whatever that means. I think that to me they're fun. If I'm gonna spend a couple hours, you know, on a day reading part of a book, like I really want to enjoy it.
I do have three of those books sitting on my shelf because I got them at the Goodwill for like 50 cents each.
Wow. That's a good deal. You could read them and then say terrible things about them.
I could. Or I could go to the library and get books, which I did this evening.
The library.
I know. I have hundreds of books that I haven't read.
The library.
I still go to the library.
I never heard anything good about the library.
No.
Dan, you should not read anything by K.J. Parker, by the way, if you like light, character-driven things.
Okay. Who's that? The name sounds familiar.
It's a fantasy writer who...
Is that the one that's the unknown of unknown gender?
Yes.
Pseudonym person?
It is a pseudonym. And I'm kind of obsessed with whoever this person is because I really like it. But most of all the books deal with something horrible happens to someone. So they decide, through a trilogy, they set up a number of things so that something really horrible will happen to the person that caused whatever horrible thing happened to them. So it's really not pleasant. But
I have read some. I mean, have you read Joe Abercrombie?
I have not.
Okay.
I love Robert Fitch.
I want somebody else I want to know somebody else who
wrote this. Did he write
Heroes?
Is that him?
Yeah, the trilogy, though, that he wrote. I think the first one is the first one before they were hanged. Before they are hanged, that's book two. It's called the First Law is the name of the trilogy. The first one's called The Blade Itself. These are very heavily hyped, sort of, you know, gritty fantasy, extremely realistic fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear them talked up a lot. And I read all three of them and was left totally empty by them. Like, I just felt totally... I literally got to the end and was like, I do not understand what the point of these books were. Like, it feels literally like these characters learned nothing and we ended up right where we started. And that does not interest me. But I want to find someone else to talk about it with who can maybe convince me why they thought it was good. Because I'm really interested because this guy has gotten a lot of good press. And, like, you know, the blurb on the front. Yeah, the blurb on the front of his books from George R. R. Martin. And, like, you know, he's got, you know, I hear a lot of writers I respect talking about him. In high terms, and I just don't know. I can't quite figure out why. Maybe it's just not my cup of tea.
I have a copy of The Heroes on my Kindle, but I have not read it. But I do like KJ Parker, although he or she is obsessed with fencing. So there are hundreds of pages detailing swords and people fencing, and it's and siege engines he's also obsessed with, which I am kind of obsessed with. So it's a very strange niche, but it is. If it was only set in New York in the 1800s, I would be really happy. But
yes, thank you for making that joke before I was going to make. So close.
I know.
That's a lot of books too.
This writer.
Yeah, KJ Parker.
Yes, several trilogies.
Wow. It's amazing that KJ Parker has written so many things and yet nobody knows who KJ Parker is.
Yes, that's true.
Is it? I mean, I'm curious to know. I wonder if anybody, if it's a writer who writes under their own name elsewhere.
I think that I forget who. There's a writer who people think it might be, but I don't know if it is or not. But. Doesn't really matter to me who it is.
Tom Holt?
Yes, Tom Holt is the one that people
there
think.
Is known to have a connection with the author Tom Holt.
Yes.
Huh.
I really I don't think it's for everybody. In fact, I think it's probably not for many people, but it's certainly for me. I like
Interesting.
It.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting.
Okay.
I read all sorts of things.
Well, you might. There was a short story that won the World Fantasy Award that KJ Parker wrote and probably read at some point, that if you're interested, you should read that because it's indicative of what happens in the larger works. And if you don't like it, you won't like anything else.
Interesting. Okay. I will keep that on my list. I'm trying to figure out the holiday season, people are asking me like, oh, what do you want for Christmas? And so, pretty much everything on my list is books right now.
Give me money.
Money can be used to buy books.
It's true.
I just got my, it's very sad. I got my ultimate Spider-Man, the last hardcover edition. So I have the entire life and death of Peter Parker on my bookshelf now.
Wow. That's a lot of life and death.
He's
been around.
It's like 13 of those Marvel hardcovers. It's a lot.
Wow, that's a lot. He dies at the end. Is that the
of Ultimate Spider-Man? Yeah, they kill Peter Parker at the end. It's sad.
He'll be back. Well,
it's very sad.
Well, but he's not really dead. He's alive in several other parallel titles.
This is the one. Yeah, it's like a little parallel universe thing. So they could actually kill him, and there's now a new Spider-Man who's this other kid.
This is Bendis, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's my favorite comic of the last 10 years, I think.
How long is it? How many issues?
About 150.
That's not
overall. They renumbered it at a couple points, but it's basically 150.
Just to keep you guessing.
Yeah, yeah. They went back to number one, and then once it got close to the aggregate being 150, they went back so that they could have, yay, it's 150. But you just said it was 32. No. It was never really 32.
No attention to the
foolish mortals.
I got one of these moments I got to finish picking up. I have the first two Absolute Sandman volumes. I got to pick up the other two just to need for completeness.
I need to read the Sandman. I've read like the first 10 issues or something.
Yeah, get through the first 10 issues because... Yeah. The first volume is not great. The first volume is very rooted in the DC universe, which doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
And the later volumes are much, much better. They're some of my favorite graphic novels that I've ever read.
All right. I will do that. But now I'm going to go. And you should go, because I actually heard you yawn, Dan. That's not like you to yawn.
I don't even remember it. Yeah. I have no memory of that happening.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
That's how they get you.
I have no memory of this call either.
No. Please send me your files, though.
Recording.
Recording. Good night.
Good night.